Hi there, and welcome to hell. My name's Trevor, and this is Luke, and we're talking all things Sankt Pauli in English, basically. So that's our only, it's not even a unique selling point. There's other podcasts out there in English.
Hey, come on. You can back it up a bit more than that.
Let's go. It's Luke and I come from Hamburg, and talking all things Sankt Pauli, especially the last game. Couple of news tidbits with the closing of the transfer window. I think we can all breathe a sigh of relief in some cases, and maybe a little bit disappointed in terms of what came in or didn't come in at the end. Should there have been a bit of action there? And then obviously looking ahead to the Sandhausen game. It's a good place to start. Greuther Fürth.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities to our previous games. It's our
except the scoreline, right?
2-2. Yeah, well, the 2-2 for the third time already. That's wild. Like, it's something you wouldn't really expect to see so often. And all three times, the point got rescued from a late goal. Yep. This time, maybe not as late as the others. Metcalf's goal came in the 85th. The other ones were deep in the stoppage time.
It's definitely a different manner in which, like, we probably. Although we threw ourselves under the bus again this time with 5 minutes of madness and at the beginning of the second half, seems to be tale of our story.
Yeah, maybe you're just better off going back and listening to our other episodes, because we're just going to be covering old ground here. Like, there's a missed penalty again. There's 2-2. There's a late goal. There's
Jackson Irvine gets yellow carded.
Jackson Irvine getting yellow carded. Jackson Irvine scoring from a header. Wrong end this time, unfortunately. Yeah. But,
there was a difference, though, in the lineup, right? Did we expect that? Was that in the pipeline?
So I think in the pre-match press conference, Schultz came out and said that he was in contention he was getting closer to fitness. Maybe he just didn't want to let it slip. Yeah,
but obviously.
But I guess it's not a good sign that he wasn't even in the squad smart. He didn't even make the squad, which is interesting. Mm. It might be because our new goalkeeper, I should really know his name, he used to play for Fourth, so maybe they just brought him back to have a bit of like a farewell. Take a bit of fans and
some inside info and stuff as well, right? So, yeah, it's...
But if you're smart, you wouldn't be best pleased, I'm sure, going from starting. The first six games of the season, was it, to not even making the squad?
Burkhead, the name of the goalkeeper, but maybe he's had a family holiday booked or something. Smash. He's probably grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah,
have you
maybe,
seen his tan?
Maybe.
Incredible. So,
but Vasij came in and did everything you could expect, right? Yep. I didn't have that same sort of heart and throat moment any time.
I mean,
the ball
especially
went back to
in
him.
The first half, there were no defensive complacencies or anything, right? I think I mentioned that as well. I don't know how much credit can go to Vasil, but he was the only variable in the situation, because we had Medic, we had Nemet, centre-back, same full-back pairing of Saliakas and Pakarada, and then Vasil was the only difference. But he seemed to have, especially in the first half, instilled an air of confidence or an air of composure. It just seemed controlled, which was good.
Yeah,
we haven't had that in a while.
But I guess before we crack on, we should just mention, in case you don't know, it finished 2-2.
Yep.
St. Pauli scored first through Marcel Hato. Right after halftime, St. Pauli, I don't know, their minds must have still been in the dressing room, because first 15 minutes, 10-15 minutes of that second half were fucking atrocious. Like, it resulted in an equalizer from Fürth on the 40th minute, and then an unfortunate own goal from Jackson Irvine just 4 minutes later. And that's what it took for St. Pauli to get their heads out of their arse and finally start playing like they were in the first half. On the 72nd minute, Matanovic won a penalty. Paka stepped up and missed for the second game in a row. Came off the bar. He seemed pretty caught up about that one.
Yeah.
But luckily, St. Pauli does what St. Pauli does. They hang on in there, and the goal comes from substitute Connor Metcalf, who gets his first goal for the boys in brown.
Yeah, yeah, well taken as well. But I guess we'll go through it in chronological order. But overall, the performance was solid, except for that, as you said, those 10, 15 minutes. It looked like boys against men. It's a bit weird. I don't know whether we just lost our concentration, certainly lost our shape and organization. It's such a stark contrast to the first half. Did they leave their heads in the changing room? Did they need to listen to more upbeat music? Are they listening to Shania Twain or something in the changing room? And they need to be listening to something a bit more Rammstein.
That might be it. It is something that we have seen before, even last week against Paderborn. Sergio Conte scored, just happened to be like slightly offside, almost straight from the kickoff. And then again today, and this time they got punished for it. Unfortunately, it was twice. But up until then, that first half was everything that you wanted. Yeah. You know, the game plan was working. Again, I feel like I'm just repeating what I said last week. But
yeah, right. it was solid. It was because a shame that, coming on the wave of the Paderborns, you know, playing top of the table and getting that last minute equaliser is a bit buoyant. Everyone was on the wave. And we looked like a good team in the first half. Everything kind of clicked into place. And then, obviously, I think Dashner had a few efforts. He looked like he was keen for it. So he had a couple of blocked chances. The second one ending up resulting in, although Pakarad had an outside of the foot attempted kind of shot first, which then ricocheted into Hartl's path, who, yeah, did the business, obviously, and poked at home because he's my boy. I've got no affiliation to Hartl. He's just my favorite player. So he stuck that one home because it could have been quite tempting to just smash it, right? Because it's 7-8 yards out, but took his time, took a touch, and then just poked it between the defender and the goalkeeper and just settled those nerves, because that's 17 minutes in, I think it was.
Yeah, and it, like, up until then as well, it was sort of what we've come to expect to see from St. Pauli this season. They were in control. They didn't seem to be Forth didn't seem to be posing much of a threat at all. They were keeping them at bay. Their pressing was working well. There might have been a change in formation from Forth either at halftime or just before, which might have unsettled things. I think they matched us up with the 4-4-2. Went more man-to-man.
They did change the game plan, because first half they were trying to capitalise on what Hansa Rostock were doing quite successfully. Balls over the top, right? Just balls between the goalkeeper and the centre-backs and chasing. And to great effect in previous games, but we kind of, maybe it's Vasila factor, I'm not sure, but they tried doing that. Maybe Greuther-Fürth just couldn't do it, but they didn't, right? They tried a few balls over the top and just cut out and dealt with, so that's great. But in true typical Sankt Pauli fashion, straight after scoring the goal, do you remember what happened straight after? What can you guess?
Is that the one where Fafiz nearly got lobbed? Yeah, right.
Almost straight from kickoff, down the left-hand side, man's through, not one-on-one with the keeper. I suppose he had company. Was it Medic or Nemec? I can't remember. Probably Saliakas, actually. But in company, put some pressure on, but tried to lob Vasil, but Vasil was close enough to parry it down. But yeah, that could have been 1-1 immediately, right?
I think it was, you could definitely tell that Forth up their intensity coming out for that second half. You know,
still the first half, but
yeah. But whenever it all fell to shit, yeah, like those initial 10 minutes after the second half whistle went, like they pressed a lot higher up and with a lot more intensity. Mm. But I mean, I'm sure that the St. Pauli dressing room knew what was coming. Yeah. They would have went in 1-0 down and got a bollocking, or at least got G'd up by their manager to go out there and really get after us. So I'm sure they expected it, but they just sort of fell apart, you know? Like, and then whenever that first goal went in, it was almost expected that,
yeah, right,
that we would continue in that vein.
It's almost like, oh shit, we scored, we conceded. We know what's going to happen next.
it's like they have to be behind to sort of find that that bravery to go out and play the way they know that they can.
Do they start thinking that they start the game two goals down or something? Is that the way to approach it? Right, okay, guys, it's kickoff, but we're two down. Let's go out there and give our all. I'm not saying they don't give the all, but just it just seems to click when they're behind. There's something that the underdog mentality, right? That's we're behind. Let's get level, take on.
Because I guess if they're chasing the game, they're more inclined to be on the front foot, which means that they've got more of the ball. There's less chance of conceding if you've got the ball. You know, that's what Pep always says. Yep. You know, if they can't score without having the ball. So, but I guess if they're ahead already in the match, then the inclination, not just St. Pauli, any team, is to sort of sit back and let them have it, protect what you have. But even after scoring, after 20 minutes, the rest of that second half, that didn't really happen, and it was encouraging. You were thinking, all right, okay, lesson learned.
But we still pressed for more goals. Like Jackson Irvine nearly scored with a towering header, but Madic got confused and seemed to defend against that one. They collided into each other, right? So, and Jackson Irvine's expression after it's like, did we? What the?
So, he turned around and saw it was Madic, and was like, what the fuck?
Because that was a typical Jackson Irvine towering header. But yeah, not on that occasion. And there are a few other chances. Nothing too clean, clear cut, right? But we controlled the game up until half time. But yeah, I mean, even when we started the second half, as you said, Pakarada was trying to back heel in the left back position to Hartl under pressure, which got cut out, which then put us on the back foot. Then Eric Smith hoofed it high, and then Madic and Nemec went for the same ball. And then their main man, so Hrgota, who scored a few goals already this season, scored plenty in the Bundesliga last season. He's their captain. We identified him as a danger man in the last episode. It's as if they're not listening to us, Luke. I don't know. And then he just drilled it, right? Like that finish was top class. Like he got one chance and buried it.
Yeah, it was nice. But
it could have been, of our own doing again, right? So
yeah, exactly. And we've mentioned before about these individual mistakes really costing us. And then at the other end as well, I felt like Egerstein did well for the first goal, for Hartl's goal. He did well to hold it up, something that we've sort of been lacking. But other than that, that Egerstein auto front two, they just struggled to really make an impact. Is that what you felt as well, or did you see an improvement upon?
They run a lot. Athletes? They work really hard and they run a lot, but the number of chances that they made for themselves or for each other or that took. I think you had a stat about number of shots they had on goal, right? Between them.
It's just the one. Yeah. I don't know if that was first half or full match, but yeah. I don't think they even managed a single shot last week against the Paderborn.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just...
Which is pretty damning. That's not the only stat you can go on that judge a striker, obviously. Oh, there's other factors, but it's just not great.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that did happen up front was Matanovic coming on, right, and winning the penalty. So that was a good contribution. I think that's a role he's going to flourish in, to be honest. So an impact sub last 20, 25 minutes coming on, big figure. Defender's going to be weary after chasing Egerstein and Otto around. And they've got to deal with this different type of striker, big, burly fella. And he got absolutely rammed through the back. And then VAR had to be called in to settle the debate. Yes, it's a penalty. And we know how that went.
Oh, yeah, speaking of which, so next penalty we get, who do you have taking it?
Ooh.
Keep it with Paka or...?
No.
Really?
He might want it, but I mean, has anyone ever missed two in a row, two in two games, and then still taken the third?
I'm sure it's happened, but I think now that he's co-captain, he might just be like, no, it's my decision, and I'm.
Is it the captain's decision or is it the manager's decision? What does that fall?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure if Timo decided you're off them, then that's it.
I think if
he's not on the pitch, it would be Hartle normally who would take them, right?
Or Smith.
And I'd have confidence in him stepping up. And they're good mates, Hartle and Packer, yeah. So maybe Packer won't get the hump as bad if it was someone else on the team who was taking over. But yeah, whenever I was watching the match in a pub, and as soon as VAR gave that penalty, all the St. Pauli fans in the bar were like, "Not Packer."
Oh, really? No, I thought he was going to.
And I was like, don't worry, he'll score it, he'll score it. And then I look like a dickhead, rattles it off the bar.
Some things never change, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he was going to take it. And it takes some bottle to step upright after you've missed it. Which professional football, like even Messi, Ronaldo, Ibrahimovic, all the great strikers of our generation have missed penalties, right? So, you know, it happens. But yeah, the manner in which he missed this one as well, just rifle it off the bar down. And I think he even claimed it went over the line. He like put his hand up, it's like, oh, it's like, no, mate.
Yeah, no chance.
It was high. Like hit the ground, then went up. But yeah, I don't know. Would he take the next one?
I think it depends on the circumstances a lot. If it's the St. Pauli are trailing in the match or the draw, I don't think you really want to be putting that pressure on him again. Yeah. If we're already up by a couple of goals, fucking fingers crossed, then I could see them giving it to him just to get that monkey off his back, you know?
Yeah, true, I suppose. But I mean, maybe he doesn't want them anymore, but I think Hartle is the next, or Smith, they'd be the next ones in line, because they've already taken over other set-piece duties as well, with free kicks and corner kicks and stuff too, so perhaps that's the next set-piece to fall.
I think Smith's only taken one professional penalty in his career, and he was back in Sweden, and it dumped his team out of Europe because he missed. And he was he took absolute dog's abuse for it, and he was 17 at the time. Jeez. Can you imagine?
God. So football fans are brutal.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I know. God help him.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be down to Hartle. Or even, I'd be up for one of the strikers taking it, maybe Eggestein.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of strikers taking penalties, and they could definitely do with adding to their goal tally and getting their confidence up a bit. So I'd be up for that if he's keen, you know.
I mean, that's the thing, the play needs to come forward, you can't put it up on them. And it's did you take penalties when you were playing?
No, but again, I never played to any decent level. We're comparing apples to oranges here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the, to an extent, Granny Smith's apples to organic bio apples, maybe. Yeah, fair enough. Cool. And then a tactical change made by Mr. Schultz, bringing on Metcalf.
Yeah, it worked a treat. So I think Eric Smith came off for Metcalf, and
I didn't even realize I was watching the game. I didn't even realize this had taken place. I don't know how I missed it, but yeah.
You were commentating on the game as well.
And Metcalf popped up. I was like, where the fuck did he come from? And I had to quickly check the app. It's like, all right, he came on for Smith. Fair enough. Don't know.
So he came on for Smith, but he didn't play in Smith's position. He wasn't
a bit more advanced. I think Jackson Irvine dropped
definitely.
Back.
Yeah, you might be right there. But he got into some good positions whenever he came on.
Yeah.
And he won that for his goal. He won the ball back in midfield, and then he started that move and then finished it off. I was screaming at the TV for him to lay it off to the left, because we had a man over on that left hand side, but absolutely delighted to see that go in.
Yeah, well, is Matanovic as well the semi-architect of that, because he's driving forward and it bounced off the defender's heel into the path of Metcalf, but you know, Matanovic was again involved with the penalty and then driving forward and almost setting up Metcalf. So, and it is very similar to, in terms of the finish, to Hrgota for the Greuther Fürth goal. So it's a similar sort of distance.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, he had the defender in the way as well, so Metcalf's was trickier, but similar distance, similar kind of finish, just drilled into that bottom corner. So it's nice to get his first goal for the club, because that's going to take a bit of pressure off. But he's not a striker, right? He's a midfielder, so.
Yeah, but he might be vying for that position behind the two strikers, because it seems like anytime Schultz brings him on, he tends to play a bit further forward than where I thought he would play whenever he first came in. I would expect him to be more of a conventional centre midfielder rather than a number 10 behind the R2 strikers. So he'll be probably vying for that position between Daschner and Bukalfa.
And
he's done himself the world of good with that. Because even whenever he came on, he looked lively. Mm. I was very impressed.
Yeah, he seemed up for it, right? And that's what you want. You want that enthusiasm. That adds an element to the game too. So to be happy to play, like keen to play. Bukalfa came on and made some good contributions as well. But obviously, Metcalf got the goal and was the standout there, but I think Bukalfa did okay as well.
Because so far this season, if Daschner was coming off and that number 10 role was freeing up, next in line would be Bukalfa, and then Metcalf after that. So it'll be interesting to see, first of all, who starts against Sandhausen, and then if a change does get made in that position, who comes off the bench. He might have moved himself up the pecking order with that goal and a nice little cameo.
Yeah, it's amazing what a goal does, right? Well, I mean, it's good to see like the transfer window closing, and we still have this crop of players. So that's good, because there's Hartl, Pekarada. Obviously, there's a lot of chat around Medic, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a good core of a team now. So it's a year or two playing together. And when we play, we can play. So, I mean, how happy are you with the current playing squad? Every time I look at the bench as well, so the starting team seems strong. Even the bench, there's some good, strong options on there. So as long as we avoid too many injuries, I think it's solid. But
it's solid, yeah. I don't think with our current crop of players where they are right now, we have much of a hope for promotion unless a couple of players really step up. If everybody keeps continuing playing at this level right now, I think we're in for a mid-table at best season. The only reason that was going to change would be if they brought in a proven goal scorer at the end of the window, and there was some talk about
that.
What
happened to that French fella?
Fell through. I'm not too sure why. I thought that they had an agreement in place with the player, but who knows with this sort of thing. Yep. It probably came down to transfer fee in the end.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to do a deal that late in the window, then the onus is all on the buying club to make a really attractive offer. And St. Pauli's not the type of club that's going to pay over the odds just because of the timing, you know. But the board did get a bit of shtick for not bringing in a striker, considering that everyone and their granny knew that this team needed a goal scorer.
Yeah.
But again, if the right options aren't out there, can you really blame them?
No, and unfortunately, you touched on it a second ago. That means that Otto, Egerstein, Amin Yido, hey, it's up to you guys, right? Now you are the goal scorers, the strikers of the team, so go do it. Like, make it happen. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think like Otto's had a couple of games in a row in the starting 11. He hasn't been really tearing up trees, so it'll be interesting to see what that striker combination is against Sandhausen. I think Egerstein has done enough to make himself the number one choice, but I don't think even Timo knows his best front two or even front three with Daschner in behind, because he did play well, Daschner, in this match. Like, didn't really have the impact on the score sheet, I'm sure he would have wanted, but I don't know who starts. I really don't.
You'll probably guess it'd be Egerstein, Otto, but is that the right combination? Like, it's hard to hard to say just now because Amnido came on. He had the shot towards the end, huge deflection, nearly went in. If he'd scored the winner, hurrah. Mitanovic came on and made an impact. If that's going to be his role, short-term, mid-term, great. It's an impact sub. But in terms of who starts and what the structure is. But the annoying, frustrating thing as well is Chire. I saw that he was playing for the second string for Freiburg this week as well. He didn't even make the first team squad. Whether that's because he's injured or something, I don't know. But
I think we mentioned in a previous podcast, he is coming back from from an injury. I mean, a player his quality, he won't be won't be playing in the second team for much longer.
Just strange, but yeah, it's so. Hopefully we can, even if it's not just one of those strikers to go and grab all the goals, but two or three of them to get 10 plus this season, that'd be good.
Yeah, at the moment, that'd be ideal.
At the moment, do you see any of them scoring 10 plus?
without penalties?
Amnido, Mitanovic, Otto, and Eggestein.
I have most confidence in Eggestein.
Is that because he's already got two?
Lot of them. He's already got two, I also just think he, like in terms of natural ability, I think he's the best out of the bunch. Even for our Hartle's goal, he did really well to control the ball in the box and then hold it up long enough to get players around him.
Yeah.
So that the opportunity could stay alive. And I guess for like a player like him, he isn't the biggest. It is good to know that he has that capability.
One thing that was worth mentioning as well is the halftime substitution of Saliakas. Because obviously Zander came on because Saliakas was on a yellow. And I think he just made a foul or some silly argument with the referee about a foul. So I think Schultz was like, you're coming off, mate. We're not doing this with 10 men. So it's quite,
and
it's useful to have that Zander option.
And whenever Zander came on last week against Paderborn, he really changed the game. He really good going forward, Zander, and he adds sort of a different dimension. I guess they like Saliakas, but it is good to have that.
Yeah, we need that on the left as well. Like when Pakarada's head goes down after, hopefully doesn't miss any more, but his head definitely went down after the penalty. And just couldn't get a pass or two out.
So, next up then?
Next, yes, of course, at the Milan Tor.
Yeah, and it's 1:30 on Sunday, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
We'll be playing Sandhausen, and this is one that, I mean, we've really got to be winning. We're back at home. Sandhausen have yet to record a point on the road. It's one that it's got to be 3 points or nothing. They're no great shakes. I mean, they're lowest shots per game in the league, lowest tackles per game in the league. They got a couple of decent players, okay.
Yeah.
But it's Sandhausen at home. You got to be winning these.
I mean, their current form is a little, not much worse than ours, right, in the last 4 or 5 games. Like they've won 1, lost 3, drawn 1. So it's not too dissimilar to our own.
Yeah, but if you look at like the stats that underlie it, it's clear even by the stats that St. Pauli are the better team.
Yeah.
On paper. And they're at home. But... yeah. And something catastrophic would have to happen in order to lose this match. I'd be disappointed on a draw even.
Yeah.
They got a few injuries as well. I'd be very, very disappointed if we didn't pick up 3 points here. In the head-to-head, actually, to be fair, in the head-to-head, it's been rather even. The past 20 matches, St. Pauli have won 8, Sandhausen have won 5, so that leaves 7 draws between them. Mm-hmm. And then in the same fixture last year, whenever the Sandhausen came to the Milan Tor, it finished 3-1 to St. Pauli. But the bad news is that our 3 goals came from Kieran Bergsteller, 2 from Kofi Kieran, 1 from Bergsteller. So it just makes you feel a bit nostalgic for last year, doesn't it?
That's my first St. Pauli game as well. and has played so well in the first half. I think we're 3-0 up at halftime or something crazy. And then the second half just... No, it's 2-0 up at halftime, so I'm playing really well. And then they fluked the goal. It's all one-way traffic. So if we get the same, without the fluking of a goal, but if we get the same where we just completely dominate them and just play them off the park, I think I'd be happy. But we need the goals, as you say.
We need the goals, yeah. Be interesting to see where they come from.
Yeah.
Maybe set pieces again. We've been pretty strong with set pieces this year. Got unlucky against Forth with that Jackson Irvine header.
Yeah.
Just
need Midditch and Jackson Irvine to go to separate posts or something, keep out of each other's way.
Yeah, they are. They're both big threats from set pieces, and then the delivery from Paco or Smith, whoever's hitting it, is usually pretty good. And I think that the squad really needs a big win here. Because even though it hasn't been a disastrous start to the season by any means, yeah, there just seems to be a bit of a negativity hanging about the team or something. It's hard to put your finger on. Like, I don't think, because nobody's really excelling this year. Mm. The expectations are higher after having such a great year last year, even though there's the team's very different to last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think it's because last season's start was so good? This season, it's like, oh well, we did it last year. Why aren't we doing it this year? Is it? Do you think that must be playing on the minds or in the expectations? Because that's something that happened. As you say, it's a dynamically different team.
Yeah, I guess maybe the fans and even the players might be thinking that after having such a good season last year, this is the year to sort of push on and rediscover that form. And it hasn't happened to the same extent as last year, but as I said, it hasn't been disastrous by any means.
No.
We're still in contention. There's plenty of young players who are just sort of waiting for a couple of moments to tip them over the edge where they get on a rich vein of form. And if we can start scoring some more goals, keeping a few more out, then I think we'll be all right. I just fear for us that it can go one of two ways, and it could be a game like this where really we're expected to fucking run away with this,
yeah,
this match against Sandhausen. And if something happens and we end up having another bad defeat,
oh God,
it can
go imagine
south quick,
going down to 10 men or something, and then you end up losing 1-0 or 2-0 or something, and it's all right. Positive thoughts, Luke. Come on.
Yeah.
So anything to look out for in this game? Anyone in particular from the Sandhausen or from St. Pauli?
Well, on the Sandhausen side, there's a couple of HSV fans who'll be making a return to Hamburg. David Kinsombi, he got signed from HSV in the summer there. He's an attacking midfielder. He scored 3 goals this season, but 2 of those came in the opening day against Bielefeld. So only one since the opening day. He's quite quick.
He peaks too soon.
So
he's not going to do anything.
Yeah, but he's fast, and you know that our problems with fast attackers, especially if what I expect is that they'll sit deep and soak up pressure, and then try and find him on the counter with balls over the top. And I have nightmares of Medic and Namath chasing him to no avail.
Yeah, it's repeat story of games before, right? So Hans of the Rostock springs to mind.
Yeah. Other than him, there is another ex-HSV player, Dennis Diekmeyer, and he's their skipper actually, but he's been out for the past 2 matches. So it'll be interesting to see whether he comes back in. And on that note, they've got a defensive midfielder called Tom Tribal, and he was also injured for the last couple of matches, but he came in for their 0-0 draw against Kaiserslautern at the weekend. He came in for like the last 7 minutes.
Okay.
And he's a big player for them.
Yeah.
He's probably their main standout so far this season.
Yeah.
So if he's back and fit enough to start, then that could be huge for them.
Well, hopefully he's not maybe food poisoning or something if he's fit.
dodgy curry verse.
Yeah, right. Yeah, dodgy curry verse.
Fingers crossed.
And on the Sancta Pauli side, do we think anyone's going to grab the bull by the horns and shine and seize this opportunity?
It'll be, I think we talked about it earlier, it'll be interesting to see who starts alongside Eggestein. Yes. I do think that he's the only nailed on starter in that front three even. I would really love for him to get the reward for his good performances and get a goal or two. And then whoever starts alongside him, you know, the position's there for the taking, so that anyone who's coming in there in that position just knows that they have to impress. You freeze there, Trev? Oh, you're back.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. One of us died. Anyway, yeah, I think Dashner should still be in there. And I think Dashner, especially on the last game, it looks like he wants to score. So he was trying to shoot on sight. So I think we're going to see a Dashner goal or two. I think it's going to be very similar to the Magdeburg game, 3-0.
3-0. Oh, God. Let's say 2-0. 2-0.
Okay.
Clean sheet.
As a caveat, I did say 3-0.
Why do we keep doing this?
Yeah.
It's as if we don't watch this team. why do we keep on thinking that they're going to keep clean sheets? Well, I mean, of all teams, Sandhausen's attack is pretty blunt. So if you can't keep a clean sheet at home against them, then I'll never be predicting a clean sheet for the rest of the season.
I'm just trying to think, you know, like the Magdeburg game, unless it was a fluke where they came to the Milan Tor, we're a lot more comfortable, we controlled the game, got a couple of nice goals, Eggestein, and then we got the third, Hartl, got the third there as well. So, you know, they've been amongst the goals. So I'm thinking another 3-0, but I think Dashner's going to get one.
I'll take it. Subscribe to that.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, you'll be there as well, right? So you can cheer on for both of us.
Yeah, I'll be there. Hopefully, watching. Let's get the 3 points.
Boom.
All right, mate. Good chatting to you. We got our first review for the podcast. I think I sent that on to you earlier.
You did.
Thanks to our one listener for submitting that review. And if anybody else out there wants to make our day, then please drop a review and tell us what you like or what you don't like, and we'll work on it or not.
If you want to use Scarp UJV, Scarp Poof, I don't know how to say that, I'm sorry. But if someone wants to use that as a template, just feel free, because it's quite flattering.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. So, good chatting to you, Trev.
You too, man.
And we'll be back next week.
We will. And hopefully my legs won't be so sore. I'm knackered after football, man.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't tell our one listener about your back heel goal if I was out earlier.
I don't like to brag.
I thought that would be the first thing out of your mouth, mate.
I don't like to brag. And you didn't mention your hat trick in the second game, so.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, you.
All right, sweet.
All right, now that we squeeze that in right at the end.
if anyone's still listening by this point. All right, sweet. Take care. Ciao, ciao.
Bye. Bye. Oh, my God.